brethren, we could perhaps continue with our thoughts of the harvest, but looking at it now from a more intimate viewpoint, perhaps as the Lord would see it, and as we would have it to him. For there were other harvest brethren besides the grain harvests. There was the harvest of the olives, of grapes, and of course of figs. And of course we left that harvest when we were meditating together about it at the end of the grain harvest. Tonight, with the Lord's will and grace, perhaps we can now go on and consider other aspects of this harvest work. See, Israel had been placed in charge of the Lord's vineyard. Our master, when he came, had to remind him of this fact. And we find this in Luke chapter 12. Perhaps we could just refresh our minds on this. First 12 verses, brethren. The master was quoting from the prophets, and he told them a parable, but already this had been brought to the attention of Israel many centuries before. If you remember, the Lord had to remind these people in parable of that certain group of husbandmen who were put in charge of the Lord's harvest. And so he began to speak unto them a parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fats, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. Now this was, of course, Jehovah God. But as we know, brethren, all this work had been given into the hands of the Logos. And so in a sense, we can think of this far country as the Logos having set all things in order and having spoken to them through that last prophet, leaving them for some centuries to produce the fruit. Prophet after prophet have been sent. And at the season, and here now we have this thought of harvest, brethren, and at the season of harvest, he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandman the fruit of the vineyard. You see, the Lord had always wanted to harvest Israel, to receive that fruitage which was his, that fruitage, brethren, of love and reverence and obedience. We are reminded, brethren, aren't we, that we should be fruitful, that we should be part of this harvest that the Lord has planted. We know this parable very well. This first servant, they caught him and beat him and sent him away. And again, he sent to them another servant, and they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away, shamefully handled. And so the parable goes on, prophet after prophet. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. And shouldn't they, brethren, have reverenced him? Wasn't this the fruit that Jehovah wanted? This carefully built and furnished vineyard. All the oracles of God had been given to Israel. They lacked nothing. They'd had Moses, They had Solomon and David and Jonah. And then to these people came this son who they should be reverenced. And he had to remind them that the Queen of Sheba came to see the wonders in Israel, to see the great Solomon. And here was the greater Solomon in their midst. And the sign of Jonah which he gave them, which he gave Israel, he said, the greater Jonah is here. And that one who was to come in Moses' stead, the one who was prophesied by Moses, one that would be greater than he, whom they should hear, was amongst them. And David, their antitypical David, had appeared before them, and they didn't recognize him. For all that they'd had these wonderful oracles, they had not understood the scriptures, brethren. And they didn't reverence him. There was no harvest for the Father. There was no harvest for the Son. And so he has to tell them that they would kill him. And then what would happen? Then shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard, what shall he do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard unto others. And this is exactly what happened, brethren. And with the Lord's grace, we'll look at this portion of the Lord's ministry. This judgment which had to come and which the Lord was duty-bound to warn them of. It wasn't with anger that he warned them of this coming destruction. It was with tears, brethren. And at the same time, he had to remind them that the vineyard would go to others. And as we saw, brethren, when we were considering the last time, the harvest, it did indeed go to others. Shall we turn to Luke, brethren, chapter 7. Here we have a beautiful picture, which for us puts the whole thing in perspective. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees, one of those husbandmen, brethren, who should have brought forth the fruit, desired him that he would eat with him. And he went unto him and into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Well, that was a good start, brethren, wasn't it? One would think, if we hadn't got the context, that this Pharisee Simon was going to reverence him, was going to honor him. But that wasn't so, was it, brethren? No. During that meal, a certain woman, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought in an alabaster box of ointment. And we remember the story, don't we, brethren? This beautiful story. This alabaster box, the reverence, brethren. Here is a fruitage. Here is something that the Lord desires. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. We delight in this story, don't we, brethren? It's such a wonderful story. It depicts, surely, the attitude of every Christian, both Jew and Gentile, the reverence that is due to the Father, which we can pay through the Son. For in the Son we have the Father, as he was to teach his disciples. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man is, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And of course, he then tells him the parable of the two debtors. But he speaks more directly still. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time she came in, hath not ceased to kiss me. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it, brethren? Have we ceased not to kiss our dear Lord? Have we ever ceased to reverence him? This woman didn't, not from the moment she entered in. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. That's the contrast, brethren. The Lord had come to his people for the fruitage of the vineyard. Sadly, he did not receive it from the nation, but there were a few, a little flock, who gave him the fruitage and gave the Father, brethren, the fruitage that he had planned for. And I'd like to look now at this thought of harvest now, brethren, with this thought in mind, the wonderful harvest the Lord is expecting from us, this beautiful fruitage. And I'd like to picture it as our Lord has done under the harvest of the figs. And just to show that he expected this harvest also from Israel, I'd like to just read the small parable we have in Luke 13, 6 to 9. Luke 13, 6 to 9, brethren. He spake also this parable, and we'll see the points, brethren, as we go along, the correspondences. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereof, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he, the dresser, answered unto him, saying, Lord, let it alone for this year also, till I shall have digged about it and dug it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. The comparison is too obvious, brethren, to miss. But now we have a fig tree and a smaller picture. It's a smaller parable within a parable. We've seen the vineyard which the Lord had built for Israel. Now in the corner of the vineyard there is a fig tree. And for 3 years Jehovah sought fruit from it. 3 years the Lord administered in Israel seeking fruit for the Father. And he hadn't received it, brethren. There was only another 6 months to go. So he wanted to cultivate it, to give it every opportunity. But of that nation, brethren, he received no figs, no fruit. And he made this very clear to them. But there was, and I want to think of this in an optimistic light. There was a fruitage, brethren. And if we seek it, we'll find it. Chapter 11, brethren, we find the Lord approaching the end of his ministry. These 3 years which he had sought fruit were closing. Now, soon he would be offering himself. But before this, he must warn Israel for the last time of their doom. And again, seek if happily he may not win them back. Reading from the first verse, brethren. A big fun mark we should be in. When they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered in, ye shall find a colt tied. And so he prepared, brethren, to enter into Jerusalem. Now he was received as their king. Few short days later, he was to be crucified. There was no fruit. There was great claims, greater claim. But as the prophet said, speaking precisely in this same figure, brethren, of this profession of love, but no fruit in here. This nation comes close to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You see, even in those days, brethren, even to that prophet, there was no fruit. And we'll see how beautifully the Lord draws the attention of the Pharisees and of his disciples and of ourselves, brethren, to this very fact. So he rides in, brethren. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. What had he seen, brethren? He'd been claimed king. The crowds had called, Hosanna, blessed is him that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But what had he seen? He'd seen something, brethren. And on the morrow, when he came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, brethren, he came, if haply he may find anything thereon. And when he had come to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Not a good translation, brethren. It really means to imply that the harvest time was here. So despite the fact that the harvest time for figs was here, there was nothing on it. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, second time now, brethren, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written that my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? What a contrast, brethren. It should have been a house of reverence, of prayer. The fruit of the lips of the nations should have gone up from there. Israel should have been that great witness, should have borne that fruit of reverence to God. But what was it? A den of thieves. What a contrast, brethren. They had the right words, brethren. They had the oracles of God. They praised Lord, the God in that temple every day and sacrificed their sacrifices, the morning and evening sacrifices. But their lips, brethren, with their lips they praised him. The leaves were flourishing and green. But their hearts, you see, were far from him, and empty and devoid of fruit. There was nothing on the fig tree, brethren. Yes, indeed, when the Lord had gone in and looked round, he had seen that he was eventide. On the third day, brethren, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Yes, indeed, brethren. But there was a place where the Lord found that refreshment of spirit and that prayerfulness and praise. He found it, did he not, in Bethany? We've seen already that there were those who would anoint his feet and his head. And if we remember, brethren, that this is where he had come from, again we have a rather beautiful contrast. Bethany was where he was welcome, not Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where he was going to be crucified. It should have been the place where he was crowned. It was not to be. He'd been accepted as king, but he was to die. But in Bethany, where he had oft resorted, he had always found the wonderful fruitage of love and praise. And perhaps we might turn now to that last time when the Lord would receive that last homage and acknowledgement that he was indeed the Son, the one who was worthy to accept all the fruit and the praise that was the Father's. We find this, brethren, in chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. I beg your pardon, 14, 1 to 2. And after 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they may take him by craft, and put him to death. But they said, Not at the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And again, brethren, we have this immediate contrast. Mark, writing here, without any break, continues on. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, that's where he was, brethren, whilst his enemies, those who should have brought him the fruitage of the vine, plotted his death, he was at Bethany. Sat at meat, and there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. Almost the first and last acts we have recorded of these faithful women who served our dear Lord and pictured for us the church. That first woman, a sinner, coming in repentance with that anointing. And now the last act before his death, the anointing. And again the contrast, brethren. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Hasn't Israel always murmured, brethren? And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with ye always. And whensoever ye will do them good ye may, but ye have not me always. This is a wonderful invitation, brethren, isn't it? To continue that harvest, that fruit of the fig tree. Because there was some fruitage there, brethren. In that little corner of the vineyard, there were those who loved the Lord. There always have been, brethren. It's our privilege to continue. We don't have the Lord always present with us, physically. That needn't stop us. We well know this lesson, don't we? This opportunity that we have of breaking that alabaster box and doing good to those whom we may. And I'd like to leave you with one just final thought, brethren, which I think puts the divine seal upon these wonderful parables and upon this lesson, gracious lesson that the Lord has for us from his word. We've seen that at Bethany, there was the place that the Lord received the fruitage, and the father brethren received the fruitage that he so much desired. And you know, brethren, the name Bethany means the place of figs. We have a wonderful word, brethren, which really opens up to us so beautifully. May the Lord bless us in our desire to serve him and bring in all his harvest. Thank you, brethren.
Thank you very much, Robin, for those nice lessons.